Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we're discussing who would be included on the Heat's all-time all-offense team.
There's a lot of great players and a lot of great scorers to consider, but we'll break down our best five. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Well, let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat and the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
I'm David Ramil, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
Last week, we posted our podcast on the Miami Heat's all-time defensive team, and that inspired us to do another show on the Heat's all-time all-offensive team. We'll break this up by position like we did the defensive team. We'll start at center, make our way to the guards, and name our own honorable mentions as well. So let's get to it. We'll start with center, David. Who is your center for the Miami Heat's all-time all-offense team?
You know, it's funny because a lot of what we talked about as far as the all-defense team kind of applies here as well. Like, defense has obviously changed a lot, particularly at the center position. You're looking at, you know, we've had so many great centers on this particular team, like all NBA guys, all Hall of Famers, at least two, you know, actually probably three Hall of Fame centers now that I think about it. And, you know, you have guys that can guard multiple players. You have to have versatility, you know, but that's on defense. On offense, now that it's changed as well, or you can space the floor as a center at the center position. But for me, I think my all-time best offensive center on this team has to be Shaquille O'Neal.
Look, I really struggled with this. This was actually the hardest one for me because what you do at center really dictates what you do with the rest of the team. I really wanted to put Shaq, and you're probably right for putting Shaq at center, but I kind of look at what the rest of this team is going to be. I don't know, maybe I'm doing this wrong. But I kind of wanted to find the five that make the most sense together, which is not necessarily how an all-NBA team works.
That's fair.
But I put Chris Bosh as my center, okay, only because of what he's able to sort of unlock from the rest of my guys. Because I'm assuming Bosh is probably your forward, right? Is one of your forwards?
No.
So I also think from Bosh, like, he is, when it comes to offense, he is probably best as a center, which I don't think we would have said, you know, when he went from Toronto to Miami and Miami decided to, because he was such a good post-up player at power forward in Toronto. But from the center spot, he's able to completely turn around an opposing defense by being able to space the floor from the, you know, from the five, being able to set great screens and make passes from the triple threat position on the elbow. He's so good at that. I think you take away a little bit of that if you put him at power forward, especially next to a guy like Shaq who sort of clogs the lane. Mm-hmm. That said, you're still probably right because Shaq is just so damn dominant. Yeah. It's just hard to leave him off this list.
You know, it was tough to consider, you know, or tough to leave off Chris, you know, because he does provide so much offensively, and you're absolutely right. His shot-making ability, you know, his screening, everything else that he does. Look, and you could make a strong case for Alonzo Mourning. He had great years there, but I just think that Alonzo was a little too limited, held on to the ball a little bit too much, and wasn't the kind of guy who initiated a lot of offense. You could have made a case for Ronnie Cicely. Let's be honest. Yep. I mean, he was a guy who probably a lot of our listeners didn't listen to, but he was great finishing around the basket. He had really soft touch. He had a great number of moves there. He just played at an era where there were so many great, great centers that he was going to get overlooked, and he often did. But you could have made a pretty strong case for him. I don't know that Hassan Whiteside fits in.
I thought about Whiteside those first 2 years.
It's tempting. I just don't think he's still in that conversation. He's not in that conversation yet. Now, he'd have to have another three or four really good seasons in order to put him up there. But I think Shaq, and again, this isn't based on what was early in his career in Orlando or in Los Angeles, but the kind of version that we saw from him and the guy that, look, I mean, with the exception of Dwayne Wade, that first season, that wasn't a really strong team. It was just based on Shaq playing at an MVP level. Shout out Steve Nash. And I think he made that offense so dynamic. And I think a thing that was often overlooked with Shaquille O'Neal was not just his size, his scoring, but the fact that he was a hell of a passer. And that's why I put him in there. That was a deciding factor for me, is his passing. If you surround enough guys that can create off the dribble or cut, make backdoor cuts like Dwayne Wade does, you know, other guys, you know, that I have on this team that can finish at the rim at a high level, and you have him alongside a guy like Shaq who can, you know, draw a double or triple team and then still make that great pass. I think that's why, that's what really unlocks an offense to me. And of course, you can just dump it towards him. If he's healthy, he's going to finish at the rim regardless. I mean, there's so much more you can do with a great, healthy Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
You sound like you're waffling a bit.
No, I am. I have two starting fives that I wrote down, and I was hoping that having this conversation with you would make me decide. And I have Bosch still. I gave a lot of thought into this, and ultimately I just went with the five that I think could score the most.
Right.
Still, I mean, there was no better offensive center in Heat history than Shaquille O'Neal during his peak powers, those first couple of years in Miami. There was no better center. And you're right, the passing was huge. And regardless of who you have at point guard here, or, you know, this is kind of an all NBA format, so we had two guards, but he could do a 1-5 pick and roll, and that you're scoring almost every time with Shaq. And he could post up and just get and score himself. And he was just so dominant in a way that nobody else on this roster was, with the exception of one player, that you kind of have to have him at center. That said, I don't have him. I have him as my sixth man. I have him coming off the bench in an Enes Kanter role, which is completely insulting to Shaquille O'Neal, and I expect a lot of Twitter comments saying how wrong I am. But I've got Chris Bosh at center, and I don't have Shaq in my starting five.
That's interesting.
So, well, I think that's it for center. We should move on to our forwards, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll do our forwards followed by our guards when we come back after this break. We'll wrap up with the best scoring guards in Heat history after this, but let's get to our two forwards, right? Because we're doing this all NBA style, so we've got two forwards. I'll start with my first forward, and I think you're going to agree with me, David. LeBron James?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I've heard some good things about him, and I think he has enough in his bag of tricks where he might be a kind of all NBA offensive player.
I mean, this is a guy, and so when, again, it all kind of starts with what I did at center.
Yeah.
I know that we've got two forwards. We're not really going power forward, small forward, but in my setup here, I've got him at power forward. And if I were to have Shaq on my roster, that takes away kind of what LeBron is able to do in the post, right? You can't really post up LeBron and then have Shaq underneath the basket. And you can't really put Shaq on the three-point line and get any respect from there. So I by leaving Shaq off, I get the best version of Chris Bosh, and I get the best version of LeBron James, because with LeBron with a traditional big man in the middle, LeBron is very much limited to, yeah, he could still do the pick and roll, which he's amazing at, right? We're going to see that this year with the Lakers with JaVale McGee. We saw it for several years with Tristan Thompson in Cleveland. He's great at running the pick and roll.
Yeah.
But I would still pick him being able to get the pick and roll with a guy like Chris Bosh. Or being able to play the roll man on his own, you know, getting the ball from one of my guards. And then I want that post up, because that to me is the best version of LeBron James, when he's posting up and just delivering those one-armed cross-court passes from the opposite side of the court, from the opposite post, and just doing all of that. I unlock all of what LeBron James has to offer, not just 75% of it. And so I've got LeBron not only as one of my forwards, because that's a no-brainer, but specifically at that power forward spot, I'm getting back that Chris Bosh, LeBron James front court from the Big Three Miami Heat era.
I mean, that was the tough part, is, you know, knowing that you could possibly unlock a better version of LeBron. But I think between Shaquille O'Neal and LeBron James, they'd find a way to make that pairing work. I don't think that having an inherently dominant post player like Shaquille takes away from LeBron's ability. I think you can have him drift away, have Shaq drift away from the rim a little bit, and still create those opportunities. Because we forget, Dwayne Wade was posting up during his tenure with Shaquille O'Neal too. So I think you can have both of them go in there, back down their respective opponents, and then have Shaq. Remember, we're forgetting how explosive Shaq could be. If you have LeBron go and create that shot by posting up a defender, he's going to be able to dump the ball to a cutting Shaq, or if he takes a shot and misses it, having Shaq come in there, are you not going to double team LeBron as he's posting up and then leave Shaquille O'Neal wide open? I mean, think about that possibility. You know, are you going to continue to double team Shaquille O'Neal and then not double team LeBron James? Then he's going to finish right away. And I think that's the tempting thing, is that you can create so many more mismatches with Shaq there. And playing alongside LeBron James, who, of course, is as good a scorer as there ever has been in NBA history.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I can only imagine LeBron having the ball in the post, right? And then Shaq starting, you know, 20 feet away from the basket and then just barreling through on a cut. I mean, yeah. You can't just let him do that.
Who's right? stopping? Who's going to get in front of him? Who's going to take the hit from Shaq?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, I just don't see it. Even 20 feet, maybe even 10, 15 feet. You know, it's still not clogging the lane, still allowing guys that are on this roster to drive to the rim and make effective plays on offense. But I just think it creates so much more opportunity. I mean, Shaq catching rebounds, catching lobs was such an exciting part of his offense in Miami and LA, et cetera, that I think you'd still want that part, and you can still have that part of that offense even with, you know, Kobe was a guy who'd post up a number of players too. That didn't hinder his ability to work alongside Shaquille O'Neal. I think they'd find a way to make it work. Between the basketball, their respective basketball IQs, I think it would work. But anyway, as far as that pairing is concerned, it works. But to me, it also works if you have a guy who's inherently a great scorer. And that's why I had at the other forward position, Glenn Rice.
Oh, wow. So you've got LeBron and Glenn Rice.
I do. Glenn plays the three for me on this roster. I think, you know, again, a guy that you probably don't remember from his time in Miami, maybe for our longer-term listeners, you know, or older listeners, maybe they remember those days there. I mean, Glenn was ahead of his time, I think. A guy who probably could have played the four nowadays with his size. Like, I mean, he wasn't exactly explosive in getting to the rim, but he was such a good shooter. I mean, just to have that guy trailing in the perimeter, being able to catch, he had such a smooth release. He was so tall, so much longer than most guys guarding him at that point. I remember the criticism of him was that he was a little soft, but that wouldn't be a factor with LeBron and Shaq there, because he would just be waiting for the ball. He'd be like Klay Thompson today, but a little bit bigger, I think, and probably a better, more effective version. He would just wait for the ball to reach him perfectly in the perimeter, and he'd be knocking down 5 3-pointers per game. It would be amazing to watch, and I think he had the capacity to drive to the rim. He was certainly long enough. He wasn't, again, very explosive, but his shooting is what really takes this offense to another level.
I had Glenn Rice as my small forward, so I had Bosch, LeBron, and Glenn Rice. You had Shaq, LeBron, Glenn Rice. But you've slowly convinced me that Shaq should have been my center, so now this is what I'm doing. I'm doing Shaq, Bosch, LeBron.
Okay.
That's my three right now, and I think that you could have added Bosch into this mix and had him, I don't know, playing like a Draymond Green role, essentially, from the four spot, where maybe you take Shaq out at some points during the game. And I know I'm ruining this because I'm overthinking this, and that's why I was wrong in the first place. But Bosch next to Shaq and LeBron can still space the floor from three-point range, because he wasn't a good he was not a good three-point shooter for a center. He was just a good three-point shooter, Chris Bosch was. Right. And so you can have him space the floor still. He's a tremendous passer, tremendous basketball IQ. So if the argument is that LeBron and Shaq would have found a way, LeBron, Bosch, and Shaq would have certainly found a way as well. I think that you could have Bosch do a lot of different things. You could post him up when you want to. You can let him score from the corner. You can let him facilitate the offense from the triple threat position to deliver it to LeBron on the perimeter, Shaq into the post. You could do a lot of things there. Not to mention, that's a really, really big team. LeBron, Bosch, Shaq. As your forwards and your center, that is a big team. And I don't know that, and just from the sense of big and physically dominant, but also being all three of them are next level passers, next level basketball IQ, and they have the ability to see over everybody. I mean, that is probably the best passing front court in the history of the NBA.
That's
now my starting front court. I switched to midstream. I'm LeBron, Bosch, and Shaq. You've got Glenn Rice, LeBron, and Shaq.
Yeah, right? I mean. Okay. To me, you're right. Rice was not as good a passer as any of those three players on your team. I just look at the fact that he was playing alongside Kevin Willis and Ronnie Cicely at center, and he still averaged 39% shooting on almost 4 threes per game. I mean, he was really the best player on those Miami Heat teams that he played for. And playing alongside Shaq and LeBron would just make the offense so easy for him that I still think he's probably a better fit because he's so much better of a shooter than Chris is. But, you know, I can't
fault you for that. I mean, that's why I had him in my – I originally had him in my starting five at small forward. But since you changed my mind about Shaq, somebody had to go, and that was my guy.
Yeah, I mean, you could have made a case for others. I think we'll probably talk about our honorable mention in our next segment.
So let's move on to our guards, right? Yes. So quick recap. You have Shaq, LeBron, Glenn Rice. I have Shaq, Chris Bosh, LeBron. So forward, center, wrapped up, and we will get to our starting backcourt when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, we've covered the all-time all-offensive front court. Let's move on to our guards. So we only needed two guards, but I think if you're talking about the Miami Heat, it kind of naturally breaks out to a point guard and a shooting guard, right?
I think so. I think we're liable to have the same starting two because, I mean, just two of the best players in NBA history and Heat history for sure. Two great scorers, both leaders in their respective eras in Heat history. My starting point guard turned out to be Tim Hardaway.
And my starting shooting guard was Dwayne Wade. And I think you have the two of them together. Actually, it's funny, right? Like, they would have been perfect together, right? They would have played so well because they both like to, especially Dwayne Wade, through the first part of his career, love to play fast. And so you imagine like Dwayne Wade and Tim Hardaway in transition would have been a nightmare for opposing teams. And you have Hardaway's ability to facilitate, which is something that, Wade had to play point guard as a rookie and then later sort of was able to come alive when Jason Williams and Gary Payton were added to the roster, being able to play off the ball a little bit and sort of explore the rest of what he was able to do as far as his great cutting ability and his instincts playing off the ball, which are so good. If you played next to a next level passer like Tim Hardaway and facilitator like Hardaway, he would have also had that, he would have had that experience as well. And then, of course, Hardaway is able to space the floor from three-point range. Wade is able to cut to the basket and do all these things. Wade could post up and then deliver it to Hardaway out on the perimeter. I mean, could you imagine those two playing together? It would have been so much fun.
It would have. Such great playmaking. I'm glad you brought up that point about Hardaway and Wade playing together because I think you look at this team as currently constructed. I mean, especially maybe with your lineup of Chris Bosh, it would be constantly moving the ball and would never stick for a prolonged period of time. Shaq, for all of his ability as a low post player, wouldn't really hang on too long, just enough time to create his shot because he was just so unstoppable in the low post, or he'd find somebody along the perimeter. So with that team, it would just be constantly pass, 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 pass. The only time it would stop really is when it lands in Glenn Rice's hands, and for that point, he's probably wide open from three-point range, so it would be an automatic knockdown. So that kind of offense would be just so electric and fun to watch. Hardaway, such a great scorer. I mean, look, I think Wade's game obviously is a lot more recent, so you recognize what he can do offensively. He might be limited as far as the fact he's not a three-point shooter, but that's not necessary on a team like this where you have enough three-point shooting elsewhere. You got Hardaway. He was averaging 6.2 three-point attempts in the 90s while he was with Miami. That's just unbelievable. I mean, at a point in time when the three-point shot was not as emphasized as it is now, he was jacking up a lot of those long-range shots, knocking him down. Now, there was a tendency for him to kind of drift in that mid-range, but again, I think that's more indicative of the style of the times rather than anything else.
He'd shoot 10 or 11 a game today.
I think so. And he'd feel he
three-pointers.
Not have any problem. And if he wasn't making them, he would shoot until he kept making them. And that's for sure. He was never for lacking confidence. Now, of course, there's some give there because he wasn't a particularly tall player. So despite, the lineup that you had where you have all that size, Hardaway gives up a little bit of it. But that's why Hardaway didn't make our all-NBA defense team. He makes our all-Heat offensive team because of what he can do as a scorer, passer. And he was just a brilliant playmaker.
So I've got Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Shaquille O'Neal. I want to talk through what that looks like because, before I do that, pick a sixth man because my sixth man now is Glenn Rice.
And mine is Bosh.
Okay.
It's fair. I mean, I think Bosh, that versatility as a scorer, passer, everything else that he brought to the table. I mean, you'd want that out there. And that's not to say, I'll go through my honorable mentions list before we get into that starting lineup because there were so many guys that you could have included. You could have made a case for Zoe, obviously.
Yep.
Really nice moves around the basket considering he was undersized in an era where they had so many big centers. He found a way to finish at a pretty high level, obviously. Goran Dragic, I mean, how can you neglect the iron shoulder? Steve Smith, and I think the fact that he played for guys like Alvin Gentry and Kevin Lockery really never unlocking what he could do. But if he had stayed and played for Pat Riley, who had already coached Magic Johnson, we could have seen a Hall of Fame level of Steve Smith play. You know, he was a tall shooting guard, small forward who could play the point. He was a hell of a passer, great scorer. He could have really been a much better player than he ever wound up being if he had played for Riles. Never wound up being that way. Lamar Odom. I mean, that was the guy you could
I'm glad you brought him up.
He could have unlocked so much more. I mean, like, you go down
17, the line. One season with Miami, but such a great season. 17-10-4, basically averaged, if you round up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
17-10-4. That's nuts.
You could have made a case for Mike Beasley. I mean, I know that we're thinking of Mike Beasley the way that he was during the Big Three era. And that's not really fair because in his first 2 years with Miami, look, if there's one thing you can count on Beasley being able to do is score, and he could do it in a number of ways. So that's certainly a strong case for him.
Jamal, did you say Ray Allen?
I did not. Of course, Ray Allen. I mean, you're kind of counting on him from his historical production. But I mean, if you're kind of look for somebody to take a shot in the waning moments of a game, I don't know that you'd want anybody other than Allen taking it.
And in the team atmosphere of this, you know, if we're really building, like, you wouldn't really make your all-time offensive team, but if you were going to construct, like, the best offense to take a floor, like, his spacing ability and just the attention he demands helps everybody else on the court. And, like, we talk all the time about how Steph Curry does that for the Warriors. Ray Allen would do that for any team that he was on the floor for. So if you wanted to create an all-time starting five that could just go out there and just score a bunch of points, Ray Allen very much should be in consideration for that. Just even if he doesn't touch the ball, just because of the spacing aspect of it.
Yeah, you put Wade at point guard. Oh, Dan Marley. I feel like his offense was not necessarily potent, but it was effective. And I think he played a lesser role alongside Hardaway, guys like Vashawn Leonard and Zoe. I think and Mashburn. We tend to overlook his production, but he was a really good and versatile player who probably
he's up there in all of like the Miami Heat's all time leaderboard stuff too.
Who's that?
Because just Marley, just because the consistency that he had.
Yeah. Kurt Thomas was a hell of a scorer when he was in Miami too. I mean, we tend to kind of forget about him because his stint was so weird, but it was at a time when that wasn't a particularly good team, but he was a pretty good scorer. He had some range. He was always a tweener as far as that he wasn't really quite a forward or center. Nobody knew where to play him. He was a little soft, and not until later in his career when he got a little heavier did he play the center position almost exclusively. So
if your sixth man then is Chris Bosh and my sixth man is Glenn Rice, which gives us the same top six, who's your seventh guy? Out of all these honorable mentions we just talked about, like if you had to pick a seventh guy.
For scoring ability, man, I don't think you could overlook Ray Allen, although Goron, Steve Smith, or Odom certainly get my votes too.
I kind of go with Odom just because of his versatility. Is he could play the forward, he could play the five on this team if he had to, which he absolutely could. I like Goran because he doesn't necessarily need to have the ball in his hands, same as Ray Allen. By the way, Goran Dragic, 10th all time in Miami Heat 3-pointers made.
It's a different era, but he's certainly been very good in the three.
Wayne Ellington was eighth.
You're kidding.
No, eighth all time in 3-pointers made in Heat history already.
Off two seasons.
He's been here for like 2 weeks. Like he's it would be one of those guys. Not Wayne Ellington, but it would be Ray Allen, Goran Dragic, Lamar Odom. Push comes to shove, I'd probably get another guy who could play guard for me and handle the ball a little bit, and so I'd probably go Goran Dragic, to be honest.
Yeah.
Of that group, right?
Well, you could go point center. Point center Lamar Odom.
Yeah. That's true. Even though he'll never, I guess just because of Bosh and Shaq already being on the roster and Glenn Rice basically being limited to playing a forward spot.
Yeah.
I'd probably say that there's just not enough room for Odom.
Could you imagine the size in that line? Center. You could have point forward with Jamal Mashburn. You could have had
And you could play LeBron at guard too. You could play just LeBron at point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Lamar Odom. I don't know.
It's tough. I mean, like, I'm curious to see what our listeners think if maybe we made a mistake there or overlooking somebody. And again, we named guys like Leonard and Marley and others that certainly could have gotten some consideration, but I think it's safe to say that Miami, in their relatively short history, have had some pretty awesome players and certainly a number of players that can score at a high level.
And we're going to do more of these. So we've got the all defensive team covered. This is the all offense team is done. We're going to do an all-rookie team, and we're also going to do another one that another version of this that came from our Patreon supporter, Claudia, actually said, make an all-time starting five to beat today's Warriors, which seems like a lot of fun, too. But for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.